This episode of Mother and Daughter, Breast of Friends is proudly sponsored by First Intuition Yorkshire and Humber, the premier college for aspiring accountants.
Check your boobs, the choice is up to you. So go ahead, give it a whirl. No more trouble and strife. It just might save your life. Check those boobs, girls.
Mother and Daughter, Breast of Friends podcast. Hello, how are you? What you been up to? What do you know? I could tell you some gossip about Mother right now because she's not here. Hobnobbing again. She's in Blackpool.
In Blackpool at the moment.
Sweet. She has been all over. And I think since we last spoke, since we've last done a podcast, she has taken on the army.
And she won.
She did. We are going to do an entire podcast on that with Caris and with Rachel, but you may have seen it in, well, multiple newspapers, actually, and heard it on the national news. There was an incident, and I can talk about it just a little bit right now, but Rachel, who you have heard on this podcast, she was part of our Brightening Your Journey campaign in Series 2, and we took her to Fishers, and she explained to us about her family history and how she'd found out that she carried the BRCA gene, which was a bit of a journey in itself. And then her daughter, Caris, who is 17 years old, literally got turned away from the army right in the final stages. She'd passed everything with flying colors, was about to be passed out, I think that's how they say it, and instead of being handed her certificate, she was taken into a room and told that she wasn't allowed to go into the army because she might carry the BRCA gene. So you can imagine, can't you, right? And it is another kind of one of those, is those bittersweet moments where I get a text message straight away from Rachel, who says, Becky, this has happened. And she was mortified because she said, if this BRCA gene destroys any more of my, this is what makes me emotional, any more of my life, I thought we'd got control of it. And now to be entering into my daughter's life before she's even been tested was what was heartbreaking. And obviously, very quickly, I went, well, I don't think this is right. So I sent the message on to my mum, and I quickly sent it on to our professors. And it was one of those moments where I realised just the strength of the people that we have behind us. With Professor Evans, with Professor Julian Barwell, with Ranjit Manchana, and all of these amazing, amazing people that straight away replied, straight away wrote letters to the army. We were able as well to get in touch with the BBC straight away. It was overturned. And she has now had a certificate. She's been given a starting date, which is amazing.
Your mum found a solution again, didn't she?
And, yeah, gosh, that's made me really emotional now. Gosh, it's
all good news. It's good news.
Amazing news. It's amazing news. And it's just, again, this sort of clarification of what we're doing and why, and the fact that people feel like they can reach out to us to hopefully find a solution. I'm not saying that is the case every time, and I'm not, but what we will do is always try, and we'll always ask, and we'll always sort of put that out there. But one of the big things that sort of came from that, and by the way, let me just tell you where we are, because I've not even said that yet. I am back with our amazing sponsors for this series. I am back at First Intuition Yorkshire and Humber, and I am in the Sheffield offices today. I do have Lucy and Emma. Hello.
Hello.
Thank you so much, ladies, for taking time out of your day to have a chat with me. And obviously, I was late.
Standard.
We'll get on to that. I've already sort of like been going over that in my head and how it can fit into the podcast of like, do you know what? Us women, right, we take on blooming everything. And I don't know if you're anything like me, but I think I can do everything. And then I realised that, no, there isn't 27 hours in the day. There's only 24. So I am back here at First Intuition Yorkshire and Humber, and I'm joined by three of the integral parts of the business.
Yeah.
And just going back to sort of the carrier situation, I think it might be something we can touch on today, is that one of the big things that arised from that question was, would she be asked that if she was a man? Would it have been the same case? You know, men can carry the gene, right? What would have been the situation? I mean, the statistics sort of came back when we were looking at it. Her risk of breast cancer, even if she does carry the gene, would have come later on in life, which is probably after she's out of the army. She's got more chance of getting pregnant. She's got more chance of probably at that point being seriously injured on the front line.
Yeah.
You know, do men ever get asked these questions?
No, they don't.
Uh-huh. And I think that kind of leads us really nicely into what we're going to kind of have a chat with today. And if you are sort of new to this podcast, yeah, we are a podcast that wants to highlight hereditary breast cancer, what it means, what it could mean to you, the statistics, you know, and point you in all the right directions. But we've quickly become about life, you know, and embracing life and living it to the best that we can live it, and the mental health challenges that come with different aspects that are thrown at us. But I'm sick and tired of highlighting stuff. I want to be able to do stuff. Does that make sense? Because I do think, like, especially with the mental health side of anything of the world right now, yes, we know about mental health and we know that we need to look after it. What can we do about it? There is no tools. It's like saying, here's your cake, but you can't eat it yet because there's a 5-year waiting list, you know? So I do think that conversations, even just talking about different aspects and allowing people to have that breath, is really important anyway. And it's really important for other people to listen to. And for me, I've got three massively powerful women in front of me. Don't shake your head at me and roll your head. But you are, you know, and in business as well. Uh-huh. But with that, you know, it's amazing, and we're celebrating all of that, and we're celebrating the choices. Is there still more that could be done to support? Is there still more that can be done to kind of recognize the day-to-day, what we have to deal with to be able to be successful in a way? It's an interesting topic. So let's chat. This is not going to be that serious, I promise you, right? We are going to have some fun at the same time. So Lucy, we've met you before, but you know, it's worth introducing you again, my darling. So please tell us your full name, your full title, and where you come from.
Thank you, Becky. So yeah, I'm Lucy Parr. I'm the CEO of First Intuition Yorkshire and Humber. And we, as you all know, deliver training to budding young accountants, future business leaders. And we're doing that across Yorkshire and Humber in Leeds, Sheffield, and now in Hull. And I am joined today by two of my directors who will introduce themselves.
Yes, hello. My name's another Lucy. So we've got Lucy P and Lucy B. So I'm Lucy Brennan. I'm the operations director, obviously, at First Intuition. Me and Luce have worked together 22 years.
Yeah, 22 like years. So,
good number, 22. It's my lucky number. Yeah. Embrace it.
Yeah. So that's me.
Really? And next.
And I'm Emma Vincent. I'm the MD of First Intuition Yorkshire and Humber, and I joined Lucy and Lucy about 10 years ago now.
Yeah,
fantastic. So just to kind of go back to your relationships with each other, so 22 years, I'm not saying that, you know, because we're not a day over fabulous, any of us, are we? And we don't like to reflect. In the 22 years that you two have been friends and been working together, when was it that the First Intuition Yorkshire and Humber was formed? When was it formed?
So we formed in 2015, so we've been going for 8.5 years now, but we worked in a previous employment together as well. So when I actually started my exams to become a chartered accountant, Lucy was working at that establishment, and that's how we first met. Then I went to work there, and we've worked together ever since.
Fantastic. And dude, have you seen a, because you always say, like, your business is Did you mean to be sort of very female focused? Was it the intention in the first place?
I don't think it was ever the intention, but having worked in a previous place for 13 years and worked with a number of very strong, passionate, independent, influencing women, well, we can put lots of words in there, then I knew who I wanted to work with. So when we set up First Intuition, Lucy was the first person that came across. We were both there from day one. There was two of us in an office with no stationery, no laptops, literally a room with two chairs. And that's how it started, myself and Lucy. But we knew that we had the right combination of people to get the ball rolling. And then from there, we started to select and grow. And it just happened that probably 80% of our staff, if not more, are female, and we're up to 48. Emma, is that right?
Which is amazing.
Fantastic.
And Emma, you know, so you met them both 10 years ago. So this was just on the cusp then of starting. You built your tribe, didn't you?
Absolutely. Powerful tribe.
I love that. Because let's be honest as well. You might answer me this, I don't know. Sometimes working with other women can be hard, you know, and there can be situations where it doesn't overly work, right? But when you find your right people, it's quite obvious, isn't it, Lucy?
I think so. And I think, you know, when we are sort of talking about empowering, I believe absolutely that we sort of empower each other. I don't think I would be where I am if it wasn't for Lucy, if it wasn't for Emma. I like to think that we all influence each other. And I think that's now showing in that team that, you know, initially Lucy built, but then us three have sort of built behind us as well. It wasn't an intention to have all women, but the women we've got in are just fabulous, really. And so why wouldn't you build on it, you know? And
yeah. I think there's something about energy there and people radiating towards it, do you know what I mean? And feeling like they're going to be looked after. And, you know, Emma, coming to you, what's your background? Was this a big leap for you or something that you were...
No, my background is financial services. So I trained as an accountant with General Electric and then was almost forced to have a bit of a career change back in 2008 when the banking crisis hit. The world changed quite a lot, and at that point, that's when I came into training, and I've never really looked back.
I think, are you with me as well? Like, you know, you get to a point as well where you are, you know, you're doing well in what you're doing, and do you feel like you fought for the next generation? Do you know what I mean? And therefore, this is why this is so lovely that you're able to give that back.
It is, and I think certainly within this industry that historically has always been quite a male-dominated industry, and for our students coming up through the ranks to see us as females at the forefront of the organisation, having those successful careers in finance previously, that it's a real incentive to them.
You've been through the graft in the first interim, and I want to get on to like the differences from sort of like from now even to 22 years ago. And please don't get me wrong, we are not here to go down the man bashing line. I'm here to talk about sort of society and empowerment of women and how far we've kind of come and how much we need to make a difference. But you've done all of that beforehand, so there is no better feeling, is there, than being able to give that gift that you've got right now and see it come into fruition with other people?
Absolutely, yeah. Working your way up through the ranks of quite a male-dominated industry to now be able to empower our female learners coming up and at the forefront of the organisation and letting them have visibility of what they can achieve in their own careers is very, very satisfying.
100%, and being able to sort of fly that flag. And it's weird, isn't it? I've only just started to realise how much change has happened and how much change still needs to happen. I've always been one of these women going, I'm not a feminist, you know what I mean? I believe that men should do all the hard work, like the washing, the ironing, the hoovering, and, you know, definitely putting the oil in my car because I don't want to do it. Thank you very much. But since having children and since being the main breadwinner and having to negotiate all of that and being a single mum as well for a time has kind of made me my eyes very open to how much we're still, I think there's still some kind of, what's the word for it? What am I looking for here, Lucy? Still some barriers that need tearing down.
I think there's definitely barriers. I think there's still a perception of what that role should be. And yes, it has changed a lot from starting to train 22 years ago. There were less females going into the industry then, and there were less females in our roles, definitely. But I still feel that there is an element of, you know, that sort of, you won't be as good as, you won't earn as much as, and it isn't everywhere. And you know, we have a wonderful fourth director on our team, Chris, who we will mention as our Chris. Commercial director, Chris, who, you know, but it just happens that the roles that we have, we were the best people to fill them. And we have a lot of young women in our organisation. And Emma talked about being able to be a role model for some of our learners, but also for our team, for our, you know, the team that we've got. We have a lot of young females and they're able to see how other females in the organisation have worked, have developed and have gotten to the place that they're in. So that's important too.
I think you've definitely noticed a change, certainly like Lucy says, since we sort of started 22 years ago. The previous employer I worked for, when I first started there, ultimately women were kind of employed in sort of your customer service admin roles. And, you know, it kind of just slowly started to change that, you know, Lucy became, I think, probably one of our first female tutors. You know, and then, you know, you just notice that gradually. And now most of our tutors are female. And, you know, so like you say, just that, you know, in quite a short space of time, because, I mean, 20 years sounds quite a long time, but it doesn't feel it.
Yeah.
And I think workplaces have massively changed, actually, in quite a short space of time.
I think it's really like, the guys, the side of stuff as well, is that there's a lot, you know, many are trying and many are trying to, and are getting, I've heard this bantered around a bit, like they're nervous and that they don't know how to be or how, you know, what they should say, etc. And I just think, well, hang on a minute, why are we still having those kind of conversations? Because that shouldn't be the case either. I mean, to me, I'm just like, why can't everyone just be nice and berate, you know what I mean? And just get on and have each other's backs. What do you reckon, then? Emma, sorry.
I completely agree. It's about your capabilities. It's about your skill set. It's about what you can offer. It's not about whether you're a male or a female.
Yeah.
I think there's a confidence thing that comes with that, though. And I'm probably quoting the wrong stats here, but there's definitely stats that say a man will apply for a job if he meets only 50% of the criteria of that job, whereas a woman won't apply for it unless they meet all of them. So I think there is this measure that people have in terms of, am I capable? And those doubts have to come from somewhere. And yes, things are changing. And I think, again, we're an organisation where we can show that, you know, we do give people those opportunities and people might not match 100% on paper, but it's about meeting the person. Are they the right fit? And do we think that they're right for that role? So, again, there's an element there of, I guess, confidence and doubt that's come from somewhere. So there is still something there.
Yeah. And it makes you, it's like the subconscious, isn't it? You know, and even as I think, you know, sort of how society is set up and how it's planned out, you know, we must all do 9 to 5 and, you know, and the school hours are of this. And if you work, you don't get any help towards childcare. But if, you know, there's still sort of so many things like that that I think are triggers, really. Let's go on to the children sort of side of things, because I do think it's quite important to talk about. And I know my line of work is very, very different to what you guys do. And I've said this in previous podcasts, you know, I'm slowly beginning to not be so scared of accountants now as what I was when I still do think I'm going to get the eye roll when I present with my box of receipts. But, you know, but it's very different. But it's also it doesn't fit 9 to 5. It no. doesn't fit the school hours or anything like that. But I'm also scared that if I drop the ball, there's someone on my tail. Do you know what I mean? And there's somebody else that is ready and eager to do my job. You know, I'm careful here with what I say. The BBC are a different sort of kettle of fish with how they look after their staff. But how do you reckon that is now with life? I know we're sort of talking outside of your business in a way, but as you know, you've said you are training the next business leaders of tomorrow, which therefore we hope will sort of tally up to the top and come back and say they need more help or more support. Have you ever struggled with that side of things? Have you, you know what I mean, with has it ever been a doubt with you with having children? Did it put you off having children? I just think it's a topic just to sort of reflect on.
I think when I had Annabelle, I was probably worried about going back to work and whether I would still be treated the same, whether I would get the same opportunities. You know, if you can't do a full-time job when you're going back. I do feel that has changed massively, though. You know, Annabelle's 15 now, and I think workplaces have had to adapt. They've had to change, and they've had to allow for both female and male, both parents, to be able to work flexibly. And that's a real positive in terms of seeing those differences. It's not, you know, totally fixed, and I don't think it ever will be, because obviously the female is the only one that can have the child, so there's always going to be that barrier. But I think, yes, there was that worry of, you know, I'm in a career where I'm doing well. Will I be able to maintain that after I've had a child? How will everything work in terms of the childcare? What if I need to rush off? Will that go against me? You know, in terms of not being able to attend a meeting, or if they're poorly and can't go to nursery. So you just have different considerations. But I do feel, certainly as an employer now, and seeing our students and where they're employed, that businesses have adapted to that, and there is a lot more flexibility, which is needed in that sort of area.
Yeah. I think almost wider society needs to change in regards to that. I agree. I think employers are cottoning onto it. But there are other factors in place, I think, for parents who are wanting to go back, particularly mothers wanting to go back. I have now 2 teenage daughters. My husband is in a very female role because he's a nurse, one of a handful of nurses.
Amazing.
So I've always had to kind of balance his weird shift patterns, yeah, and things like that. And I always personally felt work were quite flexible with me, but childcare was always an issue. I didn't live near parents, so I didn't have people around the corner. You know, you're sort of scrabbling around. So I think there's a bigger question of wider society in terms of helping women in particular, but certainly parents get back to work. Because yes, I agree, employers, I think, are cottoning onto it, but I think there are other mitigating factors that make it very difficult for people to get back.
And then, of course, as well, you know, they come on, let's be honest, mum guilt's horrific, and it don't matter. Don't matter how much you know what I mean, that you're doing the right thing and why you're doing it. And I said to my kids all the time, I'm doing this so we can have, you know, we can have nice things. Then we have the cost of living, right? And I think to myself, what is going on here? Do you know what I mean? Because if they're not seeing a benefit from this, then are they, where are they going to be inspired by? Do you know what I mean? Because at the moment, they're young enough that they're not old enough to kind of be really proud of mummy doing this and doing that. What they're seeing is mummy not being at home and not doing the school run. I mean, hopefully, eventually, they'll see, you know, sort of more of it. But it's hard, isn't it, to juggle it all?
Yeah, at least
obviously I'll slap that one up, Becky. I don't have a maternal bone in my body, so.
But you've always the dogs to worry about.
I've got the dogs to look after. 100%.
Yeah. Well, I've got 3 blooming dogs now. I don't know who sorted that one out. Good God. But yeah, sorry. The mum guilt thing. It's like.
I think there's always that mum guilt. Do you get home in time? Can you take them here? Do you miss out on things? I think, you know, Annabelle is now of an age where she sees why I'm working hard or why I haven't been there. And I do feel that they perhaps see it more at school as well. I do think they're taught different things. They discuss a lot more social and ethical things now at school, which was never part of our syllabus. The stuff she comes out, oh, we were discussing this that was in the news today, and have you heard about this? And I actually think they are being exposed to things that are important for them to be aware of, you know, not just the history lessons about certain things, but, you know, the reality of how difficult it might be for them to achieve certain things. And, you know, that work hard ethic, I guess, has always been in my family. So she sees it from everywhere. And I think she now understands. But yeah, the guilt isn't great.
Yeah, and I think it is probably us that puts a lot of the guilt on ourselves.
Only us.
Half of the kids probably, you know, aren't that bothered. No,
I think you're absolutely right. And I think they prefer being with grandparents, if I'm totally honest.
Yeah, but yeah, being spoiled.
And that story, that thing I've just told you, I've totally built that up in my head. But the more I built it up, the more real it is. Do you know what I mean?
Again, and I think it's just us putting that pressure on ourselves, you know, saying, oh, you know, I'm a bad mother because, or I'm a rubbish employee because of, you know, I'm at home too much or I'm at work too much. And I think it is hard striking that balance. I agree with Lucy. I think certainly my 2 girls are now teenagers. One's just going through a GCSEs at the minute. And I kind of hope that they see that, like you said, getting that work ethic from me. I love going to work. They know I like coming to work. You know, so I kind of hope that that's what we're instilling in them as well, you know. And again, don't get me wrong, I've been very lucky. I've been able to do some school runs, not all of them. Yeah. You know, nativity plays and all that as a mum you want to see.
Apart from the school run, I hate it.
Well, yeah. but you've got to also, there's the reality of life, you know. We've got to go to work, and you know, yeah. So it's just explaining to them, I think, why we're doing it. Like,
it's as simple as that. I mean, some people would argue, and I've heard this said before actually, in that, hang on a minute, you know, we as women fought to have these opportunities and to be doing what we're doing, so we're not allowed to moan about not being there with our children because we fought to be here. And again, it's like, hang on a minute, where's this stick coming from all of a sudden? It's like, no, do you get what I'm saying?
Well, I think there's always that, well, you wanted it all and now you've got it all. You shouldn't really complain about it. But I don't think it is about having it all. It's just about having a
choice.
And choice, yeah, you know. And like you say, well, why, like I said, my husband's a nurse. So he's, you know, sometimes he's at home when I can go into work. But, well, yeah, but you're at home, so you should do your equal share. You know, to me, it's equality. It's not about women being better than men being better than women. It's being on an even keel. You know, it's like us being in these positions. Like Lucy said earlier, you will get that position on your merit, you know, whether you're male or female. You know, if you're a man and you're at home, do the school run, make the tea. You know, it's...
Don't start me on. Yeah. Take my little boy to imagine me the other day, and he was like, can we go to the Brit? And I'm like, oh. He's like, yeah, I want to go to the pub park. I'm like, okay. Instilled that one well, didn't I? Emily, you know, you were saying that as well. It is all down to choice. Do you know what I mean? And we should be allowed to have that choice. And you said you haven't got a maternal bone in your body. And you allowed that choice. Do you know what I mean? Have you felt yourself in sort of your career so far or anything? Because I feel like you're very determined and you're very, very... Yeah.
Don't know what gives you that impression.
Where do you think that comes from?
I think it probably does come from the way that we were brought up. Mm. We were brought up quite a female-centric family, and it was... There was
there was no boundaries there, and it certainly wasn't the woman stays at home. You know, a lot of the women in my family have had careers, and the equality side of it, that it's and again, it's not you're doing a full-time job and then you're going home and doing the typical housewife tasks. It's always been equality right throughout, and I think that's really where it comes from.
Yeah, which goes to show it's important, isn't it, to have that kind of like stability showcased through. We have to have a look at my life, I tell you. That's where it's probably going wrong. When it comes, you know, obviously what the podcast is all about, you know, primarily it started with hereditary breast cancer and my mum's journey. And as I keep reiterating, you know, that is the underlying pin of this. But we're on a journey as much as sort of everybody else is. And the more people we meet and the more things that we do, the more sort of I go, oh, we need to highlight that, because ultimately, I've been in the radio for a long time, and I've realised that I'm a vehicle. Do you know what I mean? I can be a voice for people, and I can use whatever platform it is that I have to highlight that. And again, one of the things that I do think has become quite apparent is... we're striving forward and we're making these waves and we're making these moves. We're still not looking after ourselves enough. Do you know what I mean? And I think that is apparent. Yeah, I'm not saying you don't. I'm saying that there's so many things we've got to think about. I didn't realise how much the menopause was a pain in the backside. You know, and then I think about all the body parts we've got to worry about. Do you know what I mean? It's like, hang on a minute, you know, it started off with smears and then it goes to checking your boobs and then it goes to your ovaries and then they start talking about your bum hole and I'm like, I'm not having that. and then, you know, what childbirth brings or whatever. What I'm saying is that do you prioritise yourself? Do you know sort of what you... Do you look after yourself? It's not so much as like exercise and all of that, but do you know what's going on?
Probably not as much as I should.
No. And it's hard though, isn't it?
It is.
You know, to sort of navigate all of this. What about you, Lou?
No, I would argue probably not. I think my in terms of the list of my priorities, I'm way down the list of my own priorities. You know, the dog is higher than me.
Yeah.
In terms of looking after myself, I'm just sitting there and eating a bag of chocolate for lunch because it's like, you know. I probably don't. You should have to go through phases, certainly. And, you know, I try and get to exercise classes. I've started doing yoga, which I love. So I do desperately try. But again, it's that shoehorning it in of, well, am I going to get to that class because I've got to take Evelyn to football, or I've got to walk the dog, or so. Again, it's not a priority, but it should be more of a priority, but it's just the time,
isn't it? And I'm not here to lecture you at all, because I'm worse for it than anybody else. Do you know what I mean?
It's just, needs to be a priority though. Yeah. I think I've probably learned the hard way in some respects. I, you know, I had to have time out of work a few years ago because I had just totally burnt out, and I had to sort of realise that putting yourself first isn't a selfish thing to do. And as much as it doesn't always sit well at home because I might not be there to do the things that I've always done, I have become more selfish, because if I'm not right, I can't look after them. So, and, you know, I hear it all the time, but I'm the same. I am at the bottom of that pecking order, you know, husband, daughter, two dogs, me. There's probably something else that comes in between there as well. And then a business as well to run. So you are there, but I've realised that if I don't get up and exercise, if I don't get the dog out, if I don't take myself for a facial, if I don't have a little bit of time out and just sit and watch some crap on the telly, then I'm not doing myself any favours. And then, you know, I've learned the hard way, and it's taken a long time. Some of it is probably hormones and age, where I've learned not to give a shit so much anymore about what other people think.
Well
and
done.
My patience isn't what it was at all, and I have to be careful of that one.
But I just think, no, you know, it'll be too late otherwise, so make the change. And
we're having applause.
Allow yourself to do it.
I'm sat here and I'm listening to you and I'm nodding and I'm going, yeah, and I don't do it, you know, and I'll just quite easily slap a patch on or take another paracetamol or, you know, I don't
like half that time out, half an hour, Becky, half an hour.
I know, but, you know, like, Lucy, going back to what you were sort of saying, and I kind of, I, for me, it's the guilt again. Do you know what I mean? It's sort of, when I have that time, yeah, I love nothing. Massages are my thing. I love seeing my Thai lady. That's another podcast for another day. But then my head's going, you know, but I should have done this and I need to do this and where am I going to do this? So then I'll end up staying up till stupid o'clock at night just to get it finished. But yeah, you know, it is really important. And more of these conversations that I'm kind of having is like, you know, even getting like affairs in order. You know, no one wants to have those topics of conversation, do they? You know what I mean? It's just not nice, but you never know what's going to be kind of round the corner. So, Emma, I want to bring you in a little bit more because I feel like we've gone like down the kids' route and that kind of stuff. I mean, and you've got beautiful eyes.
Thank you.
You're welcome. It's not me coming on to you. I've not been arrested yet, honestly.
Envy lashes.
Oh, give me the number. That'll be my self-care. Self-care's not selfish. There it is. You know, what would, you know, you do come from this sort of really strong, you know, sort of female-led kind of background that you say has sort of catapulted you and given you that sort of strength. What would you say to people, you know, sort of from your side of things? You know what I mean? I mean, sometimes, is it hard for you looking in and going, well, actually, I don't have those problems?
Not at all, no. I question myself a lot.
Do you?
Yeah, absolutely. And I would agree with what's already been said about where you put yourself on the priority list. Yeah. I'm certainly not somebody that puts myself right at the top. Everything else comes first. And then it's if I have time, if I have half an hour, if I have an hour, that's where I come into play. Yeah. So, no. I think what I would say to anybody is, and again, it's you never listen to your own advice, do you? And it is put yourself first. It is just go after what you want, make that time. And I agree that by having that balance, I think you are a better person. I know I certainly am. And that taking that time out, I'm far more productive, far more supportive, and just more well-rounded than if I am in a rabbit hole and completely stressed about something. So, yeah, don't feel guilty about taking the time out, because I think you actually benefit far more by taking that time out.
I think, though, as well, it almost, you know, we're all hitting a certain period in our age group. We're all of a similar
age. Which, can I just say, can hit you early 30s, just point it out.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of what Lucy and Emma have said as well, almost it does come with a bit of experience and a bit of time. Mm-hmm. You know, again, probably along the way we've heard, like, learnt the hard way.
Yeah.
And I think you just, perhaps I feel a little bit that I'm starting to feel a bit more comfortable in my own skin than I ever have done before, which is weird because you still have all, you know, a lot of juggling. You know, we're all getting elderly parents. Some of us have got kids. We've got livestock in that, we've got dogs and cats and all
that we've done, you know, we've let ourselves do. Yeah. You know,
we're holding down very busy jobs. And yet I probably feel more content than I ever have done. Which is quite interesting, really. But like I said, whether it's through age, experience, or
I knew this would probably go on for about 3 hours, and I think it's a case of me coming back. I had a moment of reflection only not long ago, and I was listening to another podcast even this morning. It was with Catherine. Don't matter. I'll edit that. But this podcast I was listening to, the lady in it at one point had worked at Hooters, right? And now this lady is a strong feminist and, you know, sort of really sort of fights for her position as to where she is. And she said something and I went, blow me a neck, right? And that is, she said, I was sort of brought up in this world at this time where if your midriff was flat and it was showing, you would be more successful. If your skin was the same colour as your hair and your hair the same colour as your skin, you would be more successful. You would get on further in life. And I've had to train myself so much that putting on weight and not using womanly ways, right, is not the drive. That's not what makes you successful. That is not what your talent is. And if you look rough one day, I'm lucky I don't do telly. So, you know, but what I'm saying is that I had a huge thing. And I'm not just talking about the radio. I am talking about in business of I was always the you know, sort of tall, blonde, pretty girl, which made people believe I was stupid, right? And I was thick. And I went along with it, right? And I did. And for years, I thought, you're thick, you're stupid. And it's only in the last few years that I've realised I'm not actually. I'm not that thick. That, you know what I mean?
Going along with what society dictates, that so those stereotypes, those, mm-hmm. You know, unconscious bias or whatever we call it. And I think you flip it sort of the other way. I don't know whether you guys experienced this, but I certainly, the whole imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I'm setting up a business. Oh, my God, is this really me? Can I do this? Should I be doing this? Am I going to make it work? And that whole, am I really in this situation? So, you know, from both aspects there, and again, it's being able to be in that position, as Lucy says, where you're actually comfortable with what you're doing, you believe in what you're doing, and actually you don't care as much yep. about other people's acceptance.
Judgment.
Not judgment, absolutely.
It's so right. Yeah. And again, I know, you know, we've talked quite a long time and I think, you know, let's have some more of this because I've really enjoyed it. But it is a case of something that I've been saying for quite some time. If your intention is right, yeah, and you do this with the best sort of meaning, you know, and your drive forward, your why is right,
yeah,
it'll be right.
Yeah.
Or as we say, it'll be right.
It'll be right.
Ladies, thank you so much.
Thanks.
You. Yeah. Really, really nice chat. And I'm sure that we will come and do some more in the end as well. It is Mother, Daughter, Breast of Friends podcast at First Intuition Yorkshire and Humber. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
First Intuition Yorkshire and Humber, the premier college of aspiring accountants.